So, you got a new kids movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking it's about time we make a Minecraft movie.
Okay, I don't know if that's such a great idea.
Trust me, sir, my kids are super into it.
Okay, wow, well, what are we thinking, like Timothée Chalamet as young Adolf?
Oh, my God, no, Minecraft, the video game.
Oh, thank God, okay, that makes a ton more sense. A Minecraft movie. Okay, so what do we call it?
Oh, you're gonna like this, a Minecraft movie?
Oh, that's good.
Again, I was thinking we get Jack Black in this thing.
Jack Black in a video game adaptation, huh? Well, it worked well in the Super Mario Bros. Movie.
That's the idea. And I was thinking we get Jason Momoa in this too, and they go into the Minecraft world.
Jack Black going into a video game world with a DC superhero, huh? Well, it worked well in Jumanji.
That's the idea. It's all been done and proven.
Oh man, this is feeling so freaking safe. I love it. I feel so safe. It's like I'm nestled in my mother's bosom.
We can go do that after this, sir. Together.
What?
And so Jack Black's character, his name is Steve.
And what's his deal?
He's Jack Black.
Got it. He'll be great at that.
And so he leaves the boring real world and goes into the Minecraft overworld and builds a bunch of cool stuff and befriends a dog named Dennis.
Okay.
But then he gets trapped in this place called the Nether.
Getting trapped in the Nether regions is tight.
Gross. Okay, and so this place is run by this big bad pig lady, Malgosia.
That's a name.
It is, and she wants this orb and crystal that Steve has because that would let her take control of the overworld.
Which would let her
do that.
That makes sense.
So Steve sends Dennis back into the real world to hide this stuff, but then Jason Momoa finds it.
And what's his character's deal?
He used to be a famous gamer, but now he owns a failing video game store and he needs cash.
Got it.
And then there's this kid Henry who gets bullied for being creative and his sister Natalie.
And so Henry is the main character? I thought it was maybe Jack Black. Or is it Jason Momoa? Who's the main character?
Everyone!
Oh my God.
And then there's a real estate agent / mobile petting zoo owner, Dawn.
What's her deal?
She's gonna be in the movie too.
Great, sure, okay.
So they all end up in the Minecraft overworld too and they're like, oh, hey.
Oh, it sounds like it's somewhat interesting to them.
It does seem mildly surprising to them. So now Malgosia knows that the orb and crystal are back in the Minecraft world, so she sends Steve to go get it by saying she's kidnapped Dennis.
Okay.
So then Steve meets the gang and helps them fight monsters, but the Earth crystal's destroyed.
Oh no, that means something, I assume.
It means they need another one.
I knew it.
So now Steve is gonna be their Minecraft tutorial for the rest of the movie, and he's gonna do this a lot.
Oh boy, that's classic Jack Black right there.
It sure is, sir. Oh, and also this Minecraft villager is gonna go through the portal and go on a date with Henry's vice principal.
Is that gonna have any effect on anything?
None whatsoever, but we'll check in on that once in a while.
Great.
So back in the Minecraft world, we're doing all sorts of pop culture and Minecraft references, like one of the pigs is named Chungus.
That's a thing I'm pretty sure kids say or something.
And one of the characters is gonna say unalive.
That's a thing that kids say online to bypass censorship and filters.
Oh, is that why they say that? That's actually kinda dark.
Nah, that's fine, keep it. In fact, include several screaming, burning piglets.
Okay, great.
So then what happens?
Well, then Jason Momoa finds out that Jack Black has a bunch of Minecraft diamonds, so he's like, well, I want some of those or I'm not giving you the orb.
Why would weird Minecraft diamonds have any value in the real world?
Because they're diamonds.
That's a good point.
And there's also gonna be this chicken jockey scene where a little Minecraft zombie rides a chicken and Jason Momoa has to fight it.
Chicken jockey!
Yes, that's right, sir. It's called Chicken Jockey.
Go! Go! God.
What is happening?
I suddenly have the urge to scream and throw things and destroy everything in this room.
Okay, well, let's hope that doesn't happen with the audience.
Yeah, no, that probably won't happen.
Anyway, then there's gonna be a big battle on a bridge, and Jason Momoa's gonna sacrifice himself in a huge explosion.
Oh, my God, so he dies?
He sure does, sir.
Wow, this movie's pretty high stakes.
It sure is, and they lose the orb to Malgosia.
Oh, no.
So now Jack Black and the remaining crew, they craft a bunch of weapons and build an army to fight the piglin attack.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Wow, and there's a big old fight and Jason Momoa swoops in to help.
He survived that huge explosion?
Yep,
no further questions.
Thank God, so they beat the bad guys using Minecraft crap and save the day.
Amazing.
And they were able to work together because they're all best friends now.
Wait, how'd they become best friends?
Well, they've all been in the same movie together.
That is how friendship works, okay, right.
So they head back to the normal world and save Jason Momoa's store and everything's great.
Was it hard for them to save the store?
Actually, it was super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yes. See, the gang gets together and they create a successful video game, and then they also start doing live music at the store, so that gets super popular.
Video games and live music are two famously safe and reliable business ventures, so that makes total sense to me.
Great, and so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it's a very popular kids thing that I have a very limited understanding of, and that's a winning formula, and it can't fail.
You're damn right, sir. It makes me want to adapt a bunch of kids' crap I don't fully understand.
And adapt we will, till there's nothing left.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking it's about time we make an animated Super Mario movie.
Oh, my God, yeah, that is a massive franchise. How have we not attempted that yet?
Because the live-action one from 30 years ago made Nintendo lose trust in the entire film industry.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think they're gonna be okay with this version, sir.
Oh, why's that?
Because we're gonna play it safer than any movie ever has before.
Oh, hell yeah. Minimize those risks. Make them real small.
You know it, sir. And I'm thinking we cast big old celebrities to voice these characters. You know, maximize marketability, minimize risk even more.
Wait, so we're gonna get big celebrities to do the silly Mario voices?
No, we'll just explain that those were silly voices they did for a commercial, so the celebrities can just do whatever accents they want.
That works.
Oh, these risks are so minimal, my heart rate has gone down.
Amazing. So what happens in this thing?
Well, Mario and Luigi are plumbers in Brooklyn, right? But nobody's taking them seriously.
Okay.
So one day they try to fix a massive manhole leak that they saw on the news.
Oh, massive manhole leaks are tight.
Oh my God, I said what I said.
Anyway, they end up going through this warp pipe underground.
Oh, why is there a magic warp pipe under Brooklyn? What's going on there?
Oh, okay. Well, listen, sir, this is not the kind of movie where I'm going to be answering that kind of question, okay?
I was just wondering.
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
So anyway, they're flying down this warp thing, entering this new world.
Oh boy, here we go.
I can't wait to see these two brothers go on a big old adventure together.
I bet.
And so then they get separated and spend the rest of the movie apart.
Oh.
So freaking Mario lands in Mushroom Kingdom and meets Toad.
Wow, he must be freaking out to be in an entirely new world after spending his whole life in Brooklyn.
Eh, not so much, because we gotta keep the plot going.
That makes sense.
So Toad brings him to see Princess Peach, and she's like, "Whoa, you're a human too? I was brought here when I was a baby."
Interesting. So what's the story there?
No further questions.
Okay, wait, you can't just use courtroom talk to dodge questions.
Overruled.
I'll allow it.
So Mario finds out that Bowser wants to marry Princess Peach.
Like an interspecies kind of thing. Okay.
Well, you know, please don't describe it like that.
Sorry.
And so he's gonna destroy the Mushroom Kingdom using a superstar if she says no.
Uh-oh.
So Peach has to head out to ask the Kongs to ally with her.
Sure, yeah. Sounds like there's no time to waste.
Time is of the essence for sure. So Mario is like, "Well, I'll help." And she's like, "Not until you complete an obstacle course."
What?
So Mario starts doing this obstacle course over and over, and he's just failing again and again. Princess Peach goes to bed. It's taking forever.
Doesn't she have to leave kind of urgently?
Yeah, well, the imminent threat to her kingdom is going to kind of take a back seat to watching this stranger get slightly better at jumping.
Fair enough.
Also, she's going to introduce the concept of power-ups to him.
So what are these power-ups?
They power you up.
Well, like, are we explaining what they are? Like, why do they exist in this universe?
They exist as power-ups to power you up.
All right. Anyway, and so finally, he completes the course.
He doesn't, no. But Peach is like, "Okay, good enough," and they head out.
Whoa.
And then Toad pops up, and he's like, "I'm coming too." And Peach is like, "Okay, sounds good."
Oh my God, now he has to do the course too?
No, he doesn't for some reason. He's cool.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, meanwhile, Luigi's being kept in a cage by Bowser next to the cutest little Luma star.
Aww.
Who just absolutely craves death.
Oh my God.
And we're gonna have Bowser sing this big old song about how he loves Princess Peach.
Bowser is gonna sing? Why would we have Bowser sing a song?
Well, I was thinking we get Jack Black to voice him.
Gotta have Bowser sing a song in that case. Yeah, okay.
So the good guys make it to Cranky Kong, and he's like, "All right, I'll give you my army if Mario can defeat my son in a fight."
Kind of random.
So then Donkey Kong is absolutely kicking Mario's butt, but then Mario manages to beat him.
Oh, wow. How does he manage that?
Well, there were some power-ups, so he used those.
Would he have been able to beat him without those?
Oh, absolutely not.
Performance-enhancing drugs are tight.
Wait, no, that's not the message here.
Are you sure? No.
Well, okay then. So what does this juiced-up battalion do next?
Well, now that they have the army on their side, they get into carts and get onto Rainbow Road.
That's from the video game my brothers and I used to punch each other about.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, sir. That's the exact reaction I'm looking for.
What do you mean?
Recognition of familiarity. That's exactly what I'm looking for here in every scene.
Jeez, that's a pretty low bar to hurdle. You think you can manage that?
I think I can, sir. Remember blue shells?
I do.
So, I just did my job.
Oh my God, you did. I remembered the thing that I remembered.
Yeah.
So what else happens?
Well, then Bowser's army's gonna attack and Mario and Donkey Kong are gonna fall into some water.
Uh-oh.
And then they get swallowed up by a big old Ma Ray.
Oh geez, it's gonna be tough to get out of a freaking creature's stomach.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh really?
Yeah, cause turns out this thing also swallowed a rocket barrel from Donkey Kong's cart, so they use that to get out pretty much immediately.
Oh, that was pretty serious. It sounds like that plot point lasted several seconds.
Yeah. it did. More than 10 seconds, sir. Probably less than 20.
Jeez.
So anyway, eventually they're all gonna get transported to the streets of Brooklyn for the final battle.
Oh boy, here we go.
And Mario and Luigi are finally gonna be reunited, and they managed to use a superstar to defeat Bowser.
Wow, 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 wow.
Well, it really goes to show anything is possible with performance-enhancing drugs. Again, not the message I'm going for here. But it might be, though. It might be, I don't know. So what do you think?
Well, listen, I recognized a lot of the things you mentioned.
Yeah? And I suspect other people will recognize them as well.
Uh-huh. So,
that's really all we need. This is gonna be a hit.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could make a movie based on the most popular video game franchise out there.
Oh, the Super Mario Brothers?
That's not how it's pronounced.
It might be.
It's not. So anyway, I thought since this thing already has a bunch of fans, they'd all come see a movie if we made one.
Wow, so tell me about this thing. How does it all start?
Well, 65 million years ago, there were dinosaurs, right?
Oh, okay, you're starting way back, okay?
I sure am, sir. So in this movie, we're gonna be like, hey, what if the meteor that killed all the dinosaurs also created a parallel dimension where it didn't.
Oh, sounds smart and sciencey.
And so in that other dimension, dinosaurs have evolved over the course of 65 million years.
Wow, what did they evolve into?
Pretty much into humans, but with different clothes.
Oh, you're saying that over a long enough period of time.
Literally everything evolves into a human being, that's right.
Is that scientific at all?
Well, the word evolution is used in science, so yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, okay then, carry on.
So anyway, in modern day Brooklyn, we're gonna meet Mario and Luigi.
Oh man, is he gonna introduce himself? Like in the game, it's a me.
No, cause see, this version's from Brooklyn, so he's gonna be more like, what are you talking about? Get out of here.
So he's not gonna say, it's a me?
He's not, but he is gonna say, I'm gonna break every bone in their bodies and then I'm gonna kill them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that is a real thing that Mario says in this movie.
Well, it does have the potential to be as catchy as it's a me.
Anyway, so Mario and Luigi live together and they have a plumbing business, right?
Oh yeah, they're plumbers in the game, huh? I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, we're just gonna go all in on the plumbing. It's gonna be one of the main things they talk about.
Oh, going all in on plumbing is tight.
It really is. And so we're gonna learn that Mario actually kind of raised Luigi, because Luigi's parents weren't around.
Wait, what happened to his parents?
I don't know.
And so we're saying that the Super Mario Brothers are not, they're not brothers?
I guess so, but also we're gonna reveal that their last name is Mario.
Their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
So we're gonna meet this girl Daisy, who's being stalked by these two bad guys, Iggy and Spike, and we're gonna learn that they're from the bad dimension.
That can't be good.
And so Daisy develops like a romantic thing with Luigi, but then she gets kidnapped through this portal to Dino-Hattan.
Dino-Hattan?
Yeah, it's like Manhattan, but in the Dino dimension.
Oh, so it's Dino-Hattan instead of Manhattan?
That's right, because I assume that the man in Manhattan is to specify what species lives there.
You know, I actually read that it's derived from a Native American language and it means island of many hills.
Now, I'm pretty sure it's the word man with Hattan slapped on the end.
Hattan meaning...
I don't know.
For some reason, I'm convinced.
So it's basically New York down there also, like there's a Statue of Liberty.
So history unfolded exactly the same, like Dino France gave a gift to Dino US?
Yeah, sure, I don't care. So anyway, Mario and Luigi go into this portal too. And all they have to work off of is this little rock necklace that they got off of Daisy when she was going through.
Wow, 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 wow.
So they end up in this weird city and it's ruled by President Koopa.
Kind of like King Koopa, like Bowser?
Yeah, exactly like Bowser, except, you know, not like Bowser at all.
Oh, okay.
And Koopa's whole thing is that he wants that little rock necklace I mentioned. Because that's a little piece of the meteorite, and for some reason that'll merge our dimensions together.
Why does he want that?
Because he wants to live in our dimension.
Can he just, you know, go through the portal thing?
But it wasn't open till now.
But it's open now.
It is, yeah. He sent his henchmen through it.
But Koopa's not gonna go through.
That's right.
Why?
Because.
That works.
Also, Koopa really wants to turn us all into monkeys.
What?
Yeah, he has like this de-evolver machine he wants to use on us.
What are you talking about?
It's this thing he uses to de-evolve people. Like, you know, Toad?
Oh, Toad, the cute little mushroom guy.
Exactly, yeah. Except in this movie, he's like a, you know, 40-year-old street musician.
What? Why?
Well, that's actually a really good question. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, Koopa puts this Toad guy into the machine and it turns him into a Goomba.
Oh, Goombas like the little angry mushrooms with the big heads from the games?
Yeah, exactly like that, except not like that at all.
Oh, what do you mean?
See, these Goombas have like tiny lizard heads and gigantic bodies.
So are there any mushrooms in this movie? I feel like there were a lot of those in the games.
Oh, well, there's actually gonna be this fungus everywhere that's actually Daisy's father and it wants to help, but it can't talk because it's fungus and it used to be king.
Okay, okay, I mean, that sounds...
you know, completely insane.
A big old fungus all over the place, and it wants to help.
And that's the only mushroom?
Well, I mean, unless you want to count the mushrooms I ate while coming up with this stuff.
Oh, did you, while you were writing, take some magic mush?
Oh, no. They were just portobello mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. You thought that I took...
Yeah, no, I thought that maybe, I thought that...
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay, yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, no, that would have completely messed with my acid trip.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, Mario and Luigi are gonna run around this city trying to escape the Goombas and trying to get this necklace back.
Wait, what happened to the necklace?
This big angry woman, Big Bertha, stole it.
Big Bertha?
Yeah, she's kind of a reference to that big red fish from Super Mario. I don't know, I don't care.
Well, is it gonna be hard for them to get it back from her?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Mario dances with her at a nightclub and shoves his face into her cleavage, and he manages to get it back.
Very child appropriate.
Yeah.
And what's Koopa up to this whole time?
Oh, well, he's gonna try to get intimate with Daisy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's gonna tell her, you know what they say about little girls, don't you? They never forget the first time they were kissed by a lizard.
I am just so very horrified.
And so eventually Mario's gonna go save his girlfriend.
Wait, what? His girlfriend? Princess Peach?
No, just some girl from Brooklyn. It turns out she was kidnapped too.
Okay.
And then Luigi is gonna save Daisy, and they're gonna shoot Koopa with a de-evolver gun, which turns him into a dinosaur, and then into like a slimy goo.
Into slimy goo?
Yeah, cause maybe dinosaurs were slime before they were dinosaurs. I don't care.
Well, okay then.
And so then Mario and Luigi go back home, and Daisy stays behind.
How come?
Cause she wants to reconnect with her dad. He's not a fungus anymore. He's human.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It just happened when they killed President Koopa.
How?
Oh my God, I don't care. I don't care.
Okay, all right.
And so then at the end, Daisy's gonna bust into their apartment and be like, I need your help. Come on, let's go.
What?
Well, we're probably gonna make a sequel.
I mean, we don't even know if people are gonna like a movie based on a video game.
Well, these video game franchises have built-in audiences. We have to keep trying, even if it doesn't work on this one.
I just feel like maybe people will realize that it's a cash grab.
Let's just try it out. Let's give it a shot.
Okay.
For a few decades.
What?
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's that game where you mash a bunch of buttons
and then somebody's spine explodes and you need a bit of therapy.
That's the one, sir.
So I figure since the game is still super popular, we make a movie about it.
It has been a while since we tried that, so what happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna start the movie in 1617 Japan, right? And Sub-Zero's gonna show up and kill Scorpion's family.
Oh, extremely rude. Very impolite.
For sure. And so in Chinese, Sub-Zero's gonna be like, hey, I ended your bloodline, you sucker. And Scorpion's gonna be like, I'm Japanese, I have no idea what you're talking about, but let's fight.
Oh boy.
So then they do fight, and Sub-Zero ends up stabbing Scorpion real bad and then leaving.
Oh, bad guys love leaving before making sure their enemy's really dead.
Yeah, and so if he had stuck around, he would have seen that Scorpion was crawling towards his hidden baby and then turns into fire and disappears.
Ah, so the bloodline is still going.
Exactly, and then after that really intense first scene, everything's gonna kind of go downhill from there.
Sure, if we start strong, we'll have people's attention, and we could kind of stop trying story-wise from there on out.
So we're gonna meet this not very good MMA fighter named Cole Young, right?
Oh, I don't remember him from the game.
That makes sense, because I made him up.
Oh, you did?
Well, because this way the audience is gonna have someone to identify with, you know? Someone who's learning the rules of the world at the same time as them.
I mean, there are like 100 Mortal Kombat characters. Can't we just pretend like one of them is learning about this world for the first time?
We could, but instead we're gonna spend a bunch of time developing this guy and his family.
Is that gonna take screen time away from the characters that fans came to see?
Oh, most definitely.
A ton of it.
Well, okay then.
So Cole is actually a descendant of Scorpion, and he has this little dragon birthmark on him, and he keeps seeing flashes of Scorpion when he looks in the mirror.
Okay.
And because of this mark, Sub-Zero's gonna show up and try to kill him.
Oh no.
But then this guy Jax is gonna show up, and he's gonna be like, hey, you gotta go find Sonya Blade, and don't stay with your family, cause dark forces will murder them.
Sounds like solid advice.
It is.
And so then Sub-Zero rips off Jax's arms and leaves before making sure he's dead.
So that's like this guy's whole thing.
It is.
So then Cole goes to see Sonya Blade, and she has a whole wall of exposition to show him. I mean, she's all equipped for this exposition dump.
So what does Cole learn?
Well, there's this big tournament between a bunch of realms, and this bad guy Shang Tsung wants to kill all the champions before the tournament because he's a big fat cheater.
So what decides who's a champion?
Oh, anyone with a dragon mark is a champion, and either you're born with it or you kill someone who has has it. So if you kill someone who has a mark, you automatically get it.
Exactly. That's what happened with this criminal guy, Kano, that Sonya captured.
So like if a 95-year-old senile grandpa accidentally runs over a champion, he will then have to fight to defend the Earth Realm?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, let me ask you something. Can we make that movie instead?
Well, I kind of worked hard on this one.
Fair enough. So what else happens?
So anyway, Kano knows where this guy Raiden has a temple, so they all head to that general area.
Okay.
And then this guy Liu Kang shows up, and he's like, it's my job to find champions, and I found you guys.
I mean, sounds like they're pretty much there. He didn't really do any of the work.
Yeah, well, he's gonna take credit for it.
Well, good for him.
So then this Raiden guy is gonna be like, all right, you all have this thing called Arcana. It's like a superpower. You gotta unlock it, and that'll help you in the tournament.
Okay, okay.
But Sonya doesn't have a mark, but she still gets to hang out.
Oh, he lets her hang out. Raiden sounds like a pretty chill guy.
He's not.
Oh, okay.
So they start training a whole bunch, and Kano, he unlocks a laser beam eyeball. He's real happy about it.
How does he manage that?
By arguing about egg rolls.
What?
But then things aren't really working out for Cole because he's the worst. So Raiden is like, all right, you gotta get out of here, Cole. Go back to your family. And he's like, all right, I'm going home now. Bye.
But there are still dark forces coming for him because of the mark, right?
Yeah. So he goes back to his family.
But his whole thing about going was so that they'd be safe.
Yeah, he forgot about that part, so he goes back to his family.
Well, okay then.
But while he's back home, this big monster Goro's gonna be sent to kill him.
Oh, I remember Goro. He was like a big boss guy. Gonna be tough to beat him.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, when Cole's family's in danger, that's when he unlocks his superpower. So he defeats Goro, no problem.
Oh, so he becomes Scorpion?
No, he gets a cool little outfit made entirely of plot armor.
Okay, kinda seemed like you were building up to him becoming Scorpion.
Yeah, that may have seemed like the cooler and more logical point to build towards, but instead Cole is gonna transform into Cole with a cooler sweater.
Sure, that may as well happen.
Anyway, so meanwhile, Kano betrays everybody and lets the bad guys into Raiden's temple.
Oh no.
So they start kicking everybody's butts, and that Shang Tsung guy grabs this guy Kung Lao.
What's he gonna do to him?
Well, this one guy's like, oh, he's about to get his soul sucked.
Oh, getting your soul sucked is-
Nope, don't say it.
Oh, getting your soul sucked.
Please, please stop. It's just that's kind of my thing. Every meeting I say that something is tight.
I know.
It's just kind of my catchphrase. I'm gonna feel weird all day if I don't get it out.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just sometimes it's random, but sometimes it's kind of gross. So maybe just get that out later when I'm gone.
Oh, getting it out later when you're gone is tight.
Okay.
So then what happens?
Well, then Raiden teleports all the good guys to this white void where the bad guys can't go.
What? There's a white void where the bad guys can't go? Why didn't they train there?
Well, because there's this whole thing where Raiden's not allowed to intervene.
But he's intervening now.
He is, yeah.
Okay.
So the group is like, listen up, guys, we need to fight these bad guys again, but this time, we gotta win.
How? What's changed?
Well, see, the movie's almost over, so all the good guys are gonna be much better fighters now.
Oh, okay, great.
Also, that Jax guy had little robot chicken arms, but now he has big, big, big robot arms.
How did that happen?
Magic.
Magic gave him robot arms?
Magic gave him robot arms, that's right. So then one of the good guys is like, hey, Raiden, you can teleport anyone, anywhere, right?
He can do what?
He can teleport anyone anywhere. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna teleport these bad guys to various locations and then we'll fight them.
Why doesn't he teleport the bad guys into a volcano or to the bottom of the ocean?
Okay, so see, that would be an instance where he couldn't intervene.
But he can separate them with teleportation so they're defeated in battle.
That's right.
So does he teleport each bad guy to a different location and have all the champions gang up on that person and just kind of work his way through the line like that?
No, see, that's a way he wouldn't be able to intervene.
Oh, I'm very unclear on how this guy's allowed to intervene, so what does he do?
Well, he sends them all to, like, 1v1 fights, because that's, like, the game, kind of.
That's, like, the game, kind of.
It is. So then Sonya's gonna defeat Kano and get her superpowers immediately.
How come she gets her superpower at the same time as her mark?
I don't know. Fair enough.
And then Sub-Zero's gonna freeze Cole's family, which is maybe something that people will care about.
Maybe.
And then Scorpion's gonna show up from hell, and he's gonna be like, get over here!
What? Did he take English lessons in hell?
He took some very specific English lessons in hell, that's right. So then they're gonna have this really cool fight while Cole just assaults his frozen family in the background.
What?
And then they're gonna team up and manage to defeat him.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Wait, so a bunch of the big bad guys were killed?
They were, yeah.
So if we want to make a sequel, we can't use any of those guys.
Well, we're gonna say that death is just another portal, so.
Oh, so none of this mattered.
Yeah, none of this mattered, and we could just keep making more and more and more and more of these.
I mean, let's not get crazy.
Okay.
But what if we did get crazy, though?
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, okay.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I figure we can make a sequel to Mortal Kombat.
Oh, we actually got a great response to the first one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you know, out of all the movies that came out in 1995, everybody agreed that that was one of them.
Well, fantastic,
because this one's going to pick up right after the end of the last movie, and it's also, you know, a movie, technically, kind of.
Amazing. Now, almost none of the actors from the original showed any interest in a sequel. Is that going to be a problem?
That's probably fine.
Do you think it's a bad sign now?
That's probably fine.
Well, great, so what's the story in this thing?
Oh, no, none of that.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, at the end of the last movie, Liu Kang won Mortal Kombat and saved the Earth Realm, right?
Right.
And so now we're gonna have this guy Shao Kahn show up and be like, yeah, I don't even care about that. I'm gonna take over the Earth now.
Wow, just completely undoing the first movie in a matter of seconds.
Exactly, and this guy's gonna frickin' kill Johnny Cage.
He was in the first movie.
He was, and Shao Kahn is gonna explain that if the portal that he opens stays open for 6 days, then the realms are gonna merge.
Oh, how come it's gonna take 6 days?
So the movie can happen.
That makes sense.
And this Lady Katana, her mom Sindel was dead, but now she's alive, so Katana's like, Mom, you're alive?
Whoa.
And her mom's gonna be like, too bad you will die.
Very dramatic. I hope the actress really nails that line.
Listen, if the actress is as good at acting as I am at choosing, you know, putting the words on the writing language-listically, we're gonna be fine.
Well, then I have no concerns whatsoever.
So anyway, then everybody else is gonna escape thanks to Raiden and his massive lightning powers.
Feels like those powers could have come in handy just a few seconds ago and maybe Johnny would still be alive.
Maybe. And then all the good guys split up.
Okay.
In hamster balls.
What?
Yeah, they travel at high speeds in these underground tunnels and big hamster balls that if you don't lean in the right way, you die.
What, is that from the game or something?
No, it's just something I thought would be cool. I frickin' love hamsters.
Okay, I mean, seems important to you.
And so then Liu Kang and Katana, they're gonna run into Sub-Zero.
Didn't he die in the first movie?
He did, but this is his brother, and he's kind of a good guy.
Oh, okay. And then Scorpion shows up too.
Well, he died in the first movie too. Is this also his brother?
I don't care.
That's fair, me neither, to be honest. So then Scorpion kidnaps Katana.
Oh, why does he do that?
Well, because Shao Kahn says that she's the key to all of this.
Okay.
And he also says that by kidnapping her, he can lure all the fighters to Outworld, you know, because they're gonna want to rescue her.
If he needs the portal to stay open for 6 days, shouldn't he just hide instead of actively trying to attract people over to try and stop him?
Yeah, but then there would be no fighting, so I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about it.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
And then fake Sub-Zero's gonna be like, you see what just happened, Liu Kang? You're not ready to be alone at all.
So what does Sub-Zero do?
He takes off, he leaves them alone.
Oh, okay, but he's gonna come back later?
No, he's gone.
Okay, bye-bye.
And then Sonya is gonna meet up with Jax, and he has metal arms now, and they're gonna have to fight some ninjas and a robot.
Very exciting.
And later, she's gonna have to fight a girl in the mud.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, two girls are gonna wrestle each other in the mud, and they're gonna be all muddy, and we're gonna watch it.
So the character's gonna be covered in mud for the rest of the movie?
No, she's gonna be totally clean right after. It's literally just a mud wrestling scene that's in there, because I'm, you know, a little gross.
Well, okay then.
And then Liu Kang is gonna see a wolf and get attacked by the cameraman.
What?
And it turns out that the wolf is actually this guy named Night Wolf. And he's like, you need to find your animality and pass some tests if you want to beat the bad guys.
So what are the tests?
Well, one of them is that this Lady Jade tries to sleep with him and he turns her away because his heart belongs to Katana.
Oh, are they a couple?
Yeah, and they have been for, you know, several hours.
Very romantic.
So then Raiden goes to see some gods and he's like, hey, listen, Shao Kahn's trying to merge our realms and stuff.
Okay.
And so the gods, they're like, well, okay, are you willing to sacrifice your immortality to save the humans?
What? Why is that part of it?
I don't know, but they give him a haircut about it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, he gets a haircut and he flips in to see his friends and he's like, what's up, guys? Look, my hair's gone.
Oh, hairdressing gods are tight.
So then Raiden's gonna encounter some ninjas and there's gonna be a bunch of flipping and some air kicks and it's kinda gonna resemble a fight.
Wow, 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 wow.
And at the same time, the other good guys, they knock out Sindel.
And how does that fight go?
I don't know. It happens off screen.
Of all the fights we're showing, we're not showing one of the most significant ones.
Yeah, I didn't feel like writing that one, so it's not in here.
Well, okay then. And what's going on with humanity throughout this whole thing? Like, how are people reacting to the realms merging?
Unclear, but the Eiffel Tower's gonna show up.
Okay.
So, you know, at least Paris is at stake here.
I guess.
And then there's gonna be a big showdown, and Raiden's gonna die immediately.
Very emotional.
And then Liu Kang's gonna have to frickin' believe in himself if he wants to defeat Shao Kahn.
Oh, believing in himself, huh? Sounds like it's gonna be hard.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience. Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he passed that test earlier, right?
The one where he held himself back from sleeping with a woman he had literally just met?
That's the one. And so now he's able to use his animality and turn into a big dragon.
Oh.
But Shao Kahn's also gonna turn into a big dragon. That's the thing.
Very cool.
Now, we don't have the budget for CGI at all. Is that gonna be a problem?
No, it's probably fine.
Amazing. And then they're gonna fight, and Shao Kahn's gonna be defeated, and his father's gonna turn into a cube for some reason, and then a dragon's gonna burst out of his chest.
Wow.
I agree. And then all the stock footage of the Earth starts to look great again, and Raiden comes back to life.
How does that happen?
Well, I don't know. I wrote that it happened, so it seems like it's gonna happen.
That works for me. So what do you think?
Well, you have characters from a video game doing flippity flips. I don't see how anyone can hate this.
Agreed.
I know that people really like Sub-Zero and Scorpion in the game, though. Do you think we're doing them justice here? Or?
Well, I mean, if people don't like it, we could just fix it in the next movie, whenever that may be.
That's a good point.
But, you know, people are gonna love it. I have a good feeling for sure.
So, you have a video game movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
And I'm so excited for this one, Uncharted.
Oh. You should probably get yourself cleaned up.
What?
The video game series, Uncharted. We should make a movie about it, I think.
Oh, yeah, that made money.
Yeah, so now we can too, maybe.
That's like my whole thing. How'd you know?
I just thought you'd be into that.
I freaking am. Let's do this.
Amazing. So who'd be a good fit to play Nathan Drake, the main character?
Well, right off the bat, you're not asking the right question, my man.
I'm not.
No, see, the better question is, who's a popular actor right now?
Oh, I felt like my question was good, too.
No, it wasn't. That was a stupid question.
Tom Holland, he's popular. He's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's popular.
That's not really a good fit. He plays like a high school-age kid in those movies. Nathan Drake's like in his 30s.
So he's a younger Nathan Drake. Doesn't matter. Tom Holland's popular.
Okay, and so who would be a good fit to play Sully?
You're not asking the right question.
I figured I probably wasn't.
The right question to ask is, who's an action movie veteran with a good track record?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm thinking Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the role of Sully.
Oh, I can tell you right now what Mark Wahlberg's gonna bring to the role. Mark Wahlberg to the role.
Like a Mark Wahlberg twist to the character?
No, Sully's gonna be Mark Wahlberg now.
Are we gonna give him the iconic Sully mustache?
No, actually, known characters can't have their iconic costume elements in movies anymore. They need to either pick them up along the way or just have them in a post-credit scene.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a law now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, okay then. So what happens in the movie?
Well, I figure we do that thing where we start with an insane action scene that actually happens later in the movie, just to start with something exciting.
Classic move, sure.
And then we'll have a freeze frame and a Nathan Drake voiceover that's like, yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
It might be a little much, but let's definitely keep that spirit.
Will do, sir.
And then I have us cutting back to like a 10-year-old Nathan Drake.
Sure, what's wrong with that?
Well, Tom Holland looks like he's 15, so that might make for kind of a weird transition.
That'll be fine.
Okay, great.
So anyway, Nathan's brother Sam leaves Nathan at an orphanage when they're kids and promises to come back, but then never does.
Oh, very character defining.
So then we jump forward to present day, and Nathan's all grown up, you know, to the extent that Tom Holland looks like a grown-up.
Spider-Man!
And now he has a job working as Tom Cruise in the movie Cocktail, and he's also a pickpocket.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so then this guy Sully shows up and claims to know Nathan's brother and wants to bring Nathan on an expedition.
What are they what's the expedition?
Well, there's this freaking treasure hidden by Ferdinand Magellan and his crew. It's like billions of dollars worth of gold.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so to get to that treasure, they need this old golden cross that's actually a key.
Oh, old people love things that look like other things but are actually keys.
They sure did, sir. So Nathan and Sully go to this auction, but there are some bad guys there that also want the cross.
Oh, how come?
Well, there's this one guy, Moncada, and he comes from the family that funded the Magellan trip, so he feels like the treasure is his birthright.
Okay.
And he has this ruthless mercenary, Braddock, working for him, and her whole thing is that she would also like the treasure.
Understandable motivation, sure.
So anyway, Nathan and Sully manage to get the cross, and now they gotta go to Barcelona.
Oh, how come?
Well, Sully has this contact, Chloe Fraser, and she has this other cross, because you need two of them to enter this crypt.
And what's her deal?
Oh, she's a very good pickpocket, sir.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
She's so good, she steals the cross out of Nathan's closed backpack without even getting close to him.
What? How?
She's so good, sir, he didn't even notice.
But physically, how did she get a cross out of a closed bag from a distance?
By being one of the best in the game, baby.
All right, well, cool, I guess.
It's very cool, sir. She double-crossed him for some double crosses.
Oh, wordplay.
So then they manage to convince her that they all need to work
work together, but there's still gonna be a lot of backstabbing going on.
Oh, stabbing is tight.
Backstabbing.
Yeah, wherever. I love all of it.
Okay.
So then what happens?
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh.
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code.
We're getting all Dan Brown up in here?
You know it, sir. They gotta follow these ancient clues that are hidden in plain sight in modern society.
Very Robert Langdon-esque.
Yeah, so this one entrance to an ancient crypt is inside an old church, and there's a vent connecting it to a nightclub.
And nobody in 500 years ever went through the vent.
That's what we're going with. And then there's this other keyhole.
In a Papa John's.
What?
In a Papa John's.
Like a pizza place?
Yeah, Barcelona's in Europe. Europe has pizza. Papa John's has pizza. Papa John's will give me money. This is a perfect fit.
Okay, so there's an ancient keyhole in a Papa John's.
Amazing.
Yeah, they built a Papa John's around an ancient keyhole. Never look behind it. Just put a Papa John's right there.
Yeah.
They just put some glass in front of it so it was still easy to find, but never did anyone wonder what was behind there.
That makes total sense to me.
Great. And so then there's gonna be this action scene where Nathan and Chloe are almost drowning down in the crypt, and the Papa John keyhole can help them not drown.
Okay.
So Sully's gotta access the keyhole, but that Braddock lady shows up at the Papa John's, so there's a big Papa John's fight, and he throws her through the Papa John's glass.
A very exciting action scene brought to you by Papa John's.
Anyway, so later Braddock and Mancada are loading up this cargo plane, and Nathan and Sully gotta figure out how to get on there.
Is that gonna be hard to do?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they hide in the trunk of his favorite car, which he's bringing with him.
How'd they get in there? Aren't there a bunch of guards?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they do this really clever thing where they sneak into the car off-screen.
Oh, that's amazing, the kind of stuff you could get done off-screen.
It really is. So then there's gonna be this big twist on the plane when Braddock slits Mancada's throat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there's blood everywhere because of what that does to a person.
Well, no, because we want that PG-13 rating.
Oh, okay, so then he'll just have a dark, bloodless line that we won't even try to hide.
Perfect.
So now Braddock is the main antagonist of the movie.
Very cool twist. So instead of the villain with a personal family connection to the treasure, it's the angry girl who was thrown through a window at Papa John's.
Exactly. And so she tells her crew, hey, now that we have this guy's wealth, we can do whatever we want.
That's not... Just because you murder someone doesn't mean you control all their assets.
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay, neat.
So then there's gonna be this big action set piece where Nathan and a bunch of cargo are falling off the plane.
Oh, yeah, that's from the games.
Exactly. An iconic moment from the games, except now people can't control the characters, which makes it more engaging.
That makes sense.
So anyway, eventually they get out of that situation, and Nathan figures out the coordinates for the treasure.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, and then Chloe steals them, but Nathan left decoy coordinates because he knew she was gonna double cross him.
So she just takes off in the wrong direction, and she's not in the final act action stuff of the movie?
That's right, she's gone.
All right.
And so then Nathan heads into this cave that nobody's been in for 500 years, even though it looks like the coolest cave that everyone would love to explore.
And how does he plan on bringing several tons of gold out of there with him?
Well, he's got himself a little speedboat.
That'll do it.
Yeah, so then on land, Nathan and Sully find Magellan's two giant old ships, but then Braddock and her team take them.
What do you mean they take them?
They put these giant nets under the ships and fly them off with helicopters with Nathan and Sully inside.
Nice.
So then there's gonna be like this crazy airborne pirate ship battle. It's gonna be nuts.
Wow. Wow.
And at a certain point, Nathan's gonna fire an old cannon at the other ship, because it's flying right at them.
What was the strategy there? The bad guys were just gonna crash one ship into the other and hope for the best?
Yes.
Well, okay then.
And so then the good guys win and the bad guys die, and most of the treasure is lost.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, but it's okay, because they get a little bit of it. So what do you think?
I think it sounds fun, and I think we time it just a little after the new Spider-Man movie to hop on that Tom Holland hype train.
You think that'll work?
Never underestimate a hype train.
So, you have a Sonic movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, that'll be fun to see with his big head and his big eyes.
No.
What?
No, we're gonna wanna make this guy more realistic, because he's gonna run around on planet Earth, so he can't be like a cartoon.
I guess that makes sense. So what are we talking about?
Well, first of all, teeth.
Teeth?
Yeah, I wanna be able to count how many teeth this guy has.
Okay.
I wanna be able to picture him biting someone, and I want visible eyelids.
Why would we want that?
Then we gotta work on his proportions, make him a whole lot more human-shaped. I'm thinking calf muscles.
Calf muscles, okay.
I want him to look like that kid in Jumanji, you know, when he's halfway into turning into a monkey.
I mean, maybe we could talk about the story a little bit before getting into this.
If you say so.
So what happens in this thing?
Well, this toothy kid Sonic grew up on another planet and was raised by an owl named Longclaw, right?
Longclaw the owl? Is that a Sonic character?
No, I made it up. There's an owl now, I decided.
Oh, adding random owls into things is tight.
Yeah, and so because Sonic is so fast and powerful, some bad guys want
want to steal his power.
Uh-oh.
So this owl gives him a bag of rings that let him make portals to wherever, so she sends him to Earth, and she's like, stay hidden there.
Very sad. So what does he do?
Well, he spends like a decade in this small town in Montana, and he's super lonely, so he like watches people from outside their windows.
Oh my god.
But like in a cute way. It's not horrifying.
Oh, it's not. Okay, great.
Yeah, so he's just doing speedy stuff to pass the time, like he plays ping pong against himself.
Oh, like Quicksilver in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, crap. You saw that movie, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a whole lot of people did, yeah.
Dang it. Okay, well, that's where we're gonna be getting a lot of our action scenes from.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, we're just gonna straight up do that time in a bottle scene, okay?
Okay, well, maybe nobody's gonna notice.
Fingers crossed.
So what else happens?
Well, Sonic is so lonely that he runs very fast around a baseball diamond.
What?
And that leads to a power outage, and that leads to the government hiring Dr. Robotnik to track him down.
Oh, and what's Dr. Robotnik's deal?
Oh, he's very wacky and condescending. He says stuff like, I was spitting out formulas when you were spitting up formula.
That's a good line.
Yeah, he's also gonna be like, look what came out of my egg sack.
Oh my god, I don't like that one.
Well, it makes sense in context.
Okay, if you say so.
So anyway, the owl that I made up had told Sonic, if you ever get caught, you gotta go through a portal to like a mushroom planet.
Oh, is that a drug thing?
No, it's all literal.
Oh.
So he takes his bag of rings from his cave to the garage of a police officer named Tom.
Why couldn't he have just used the portal in his cave?
Because I want Tom in the movie.
Gotcha.
And so they see each other, and Sonic's like, meow, and then Tom shoots him with a tranquilizer.
Totally justified shooting, that's an awful joke.
Well, no, it's more that he was shocked to see an alien.
Right.
So then Sonic accidentally drops his rings into a portal to the top of a building in San Francisco.
Oh, so he runs to San Francisco and gets them?
No, he doesn't.
Can he not run that far?
Oh, no, he definitely can. At a certain point, he runs from Montana to the Pacific Ocean in 2 seconds.
So why doesn't he run to San Francisco?
Well, he's not exactly sure which way to go, so he has to team up with Tom.
To go buy a map?
No, to drive there in a pickup truck going 50 miles an hour on a quest in which time is of the utmost importance.
Do you think people want to see a character known for his speed sitting in a normal vehicle, respecting the laws of the road for an hour and a half?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so Tom and Sonic are gonna become friends along the way and just have a ton of fun. Like, Sonic is gonna floss several times.
Right, because of the teeth.
No, I mean like that Fortnite dance thing.
Oh, children love Fortnite.
And they always will, so we should absolutely include references to it.
I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Great.
That actually reminds me, I got the perfect product placement for this. It's a restaurant. It's just perfect.
Oh, Sonic Drive-In?
Oh, yeah, no, that would have been good. I got Olive Garden.
What?
Yeah, so if the characters could just like straight up talk about Olive Garden and say the slogan and talk about some of the offerings, that'd be just great.
I mean, okay.
Perfect.
Anyway, so the government is gonna decide that Tom is probably a terrorist and he's gonna be on like the most wanted list.
Uh-oh, is he gonna have trouble walking around in public?
Not even a little bit. I can't stress enough how little impact this is gonna have on the plot.
Oh, well, okay then.
So anyway, after being chased by Robotnik for a while, they end up in San Francisco.
So Sonic runs to the top of the building and gets the rings?
Nope, he doesn't, even though we've shown him run up walls.
Oh.
So then there's a big showdown between Sonic and Robotnik, and it seems like Sonic might be dead.
Wow, well, roll credits, I guess.
No, that's the thing. He's not really dead.
Oh, he's not? Well, it's gonna be tough for him to beat Robotnik if he's taking that much damage, though.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Tom says something about friendship or something, and that not only wakes Sonic up, but gives him, like, a huge power boost.
That is how friendship works. I told my dog he was my friend, and he crashed through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
A very good friend. So anyway, then Robotnik gets sent through a portal to the Mushroom Planet.
Wow, 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 wow.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm just not sure about the design you described.
No, you're gonna have to trust me on this, sir. People are gonna love it.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So, you have a Sonic sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. So do we stick with the cute Sonic design, or do we go back to that original Nightmare one we had?
I mean, I was thinking the cute one.
You sure? Because we got a ton of press from the one that looked like it drank blood.
Yeah, no, I think we go with the cute one, for sure.
Okay, so what happens in this thing?
Well, Sonic's human friends Tom and Maddie travel to Hawaii, right? Using one of Sonic's portal rings.
Kind of raises some security questions that they could just travel that way.
No, it doesn't.
So they gotta go there, because Maddie's sister
sister Rachel's getting married there at whatever luxury resort gives us the most money for product placement.
Oh, I like the sound of that. I'm gonna get Four Seasons on the phone.
So Sonic is left at home alone, and that's when Robotnik's gonna come for him.
Oh no, how does he manage that?
Well, since the events of the first movie, Robotnik's been on another planet eating mushrooms, trying to communicate with other planets.
Been there.
And eventually a portal opens and Knuckles the Echidna comes through.
He's from the games!
He sure is, sir. He's red.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, so Knuckles wants to know where Robotnik got this blue Sonic quill, because he's trying to find something called the Master Emerald.
Okay.
So Robotnik says he can show him the way so he can get off this mushroom planet.
Smart.
And he's gonna do that flossing dance too. That's gonna be fun for kids.
Okay, I mean, people already said that was old when we did it in the last Sonic movie.
Well, that's the thing about internet references, sir. They just get better with age.
That's not accurate.
So anyway, now Robotnik and Knuckles are at Sonic's door, and Knuckles is beating the crap out of him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Sonic's trying to use his super speed, but he's no match for this guy, because he's fast, too.
Jeez, well, sounds like he's met his match. Gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, Tails drives in with a cop car and hits Knuckles with it.
He was able to dodge the fastest creature on the planet, but not a human vehicle?
That's what we're going with. So he and Sonic run away.
And so why is Tails here now?
Well, he's been watching Sonic from another planet for a while and decides to come help him.
Watching people from a distance is tight.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's creepy when you do it, sir, but Tails is cute, so it's okay.
That's fair.
So they go take a look at this map that Longclaw the Owl had left Sonic, and this hologram message pops out.
Why does it activate now?
Because the movie's plot is underway now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they find out they need to go to Siberia to get their hands on this compass that'll lead them to the Emerald.
Very chilly.
So they end up in the Siberian bar wearing disguises, but their disguises get taken off.
Oh, is everybody freaked out by the two little aliens in their bar?
No, that's not how people would react. They're gonna challenge them to a dance-off, obviously.
What? Why?
Because this way we can have a dance-off scene.
Right.
Plus the Siberian people get a hold of the map, so if Sonic wants it back, he's gotta dance.
He can move so fast the time stands still.
He's gotta dance, there's no other way, so he and Tails dance to Uptown Funk.
Oh, the hottest track of 2014.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they win?
They do.
Amazing.
So they're gonna end up finding the compass up in these mountains, but Knuckles and Robotnik swoop in and steal it.
Oh no.
Yeah, now there's an avalanche, so they've gotta do something.
So what do they do?
Well, Sonic calls Tom and tells him to use a portal ring to bring them to Hawaii, but Tom realizes he switched up the portal ring with the wedding ring.
Oh, so he goes and explains the mix-up to her?
Well, no, because if he explained it, there wouldn't be much room for comedy, so he's just gonna try to grab the ring during the ceremony without any context.
That is funnier than him trying to solve it rationally with his words.
That's right, sir. So then Sonic and Tails and an avalanche come through a portal into the wedding.
Very wacky hijinks.
And then we find out that Rachel's fiancé and the whole wedding party, they were agents this whole time.
What?
Yeah, they had one of their guys get into a long-term relationship with Sonic's human sister-in-law so they could hopefully trap Sonic one day.
That doesn't make any sense.
They planned a whole wedding, flew all their agents to Hawaii, booked a luxury resort, all because they wanted to catch Sonic.
How could they have even known that Sonic would show up there? He was just escaping an avalanche.
Yeah, no, they didn't know. How could they have predicted the avalanche? They didn't know he'd be there.
If they knew he was involved with that family, why not just show up at the house instead of fake seducing and marrying the sister-in-law?
Oh, well, don't worry, sir, because they actually did fall in love.
What? Who, the sister and the agent?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at first, when she finds out, she's gonna be very mad. She's gonna go all bridezilla, rampage around. She chases him around and everything, drives a golf cart, looks badass.
Okay, and where's Sonic during this whole thing?
But when the agent finally gets a chance to explain himself, he's gonna explain that he really did fall in love with her, even though this started out as just a plan.
This is a Sonic movie, right? Where is he?
So they're gonna be all right, sir. This agent and Rachel, I think they're gonna be all right.
Why are we spending so much time on this? Where's Sonic?
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I guess we could be done with this random romantic comedy shoved into the middle of this movie with side characters that have little to no impact on the plot. Okay, back to Sonic.
I mean, yes, please.
Anyway, so in the meantime, Robotnik got his hands on the Emerald, which lets him, like, create anything he wants.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so they see this massive sky beam from the coast of Hawaii, so Sonic's gotta get there.
Well, thank God the wedding happened to be taking place within visible distance of the Emerald.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Hey, so hold on, we have a sky beam and a bad guy with similar powers but a different color?
Yeah.
We might
get a frickin' Marvel movie over here?
Well, kinda, sir. Except by the end of this movie, Knuckles is gonna be a good guy.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he learned the power of friendship and whatnot.
Oh, sick!
So Robotnik's gonna create this giant Eggman robot, and they're gonna have to fight it.
Very exciting.
So then Sonic turns into Super Sonic, and he cuts the head off this robot, and he pushes Robotnik down from hundreds of feet in the air.
Oh, my God.
What?
Sonic just straight up kills a guy? Even Batman pretends to not do that.
Well, we don't know if he's dead or not.
Right, but Sonic knocks him down from a fatal height and doesn't help him.
Yeah, he does.
That's pretty intense.
No, it's not, actually. So then everybody's friends and everybody's happy and don't think about that pushing a guy to his death thing too much, and they play baseball with Knuckles.
Wow, well, it sounds like a fun movie, you know?
Yeah, it will be. Plus, in this one, Jim Carrey's gonna have the big mustache and the bald head like Robotnik.
So maybe in the next movie we could put him in a big round fat suit, you know, complete the transformation.
That'd be kinda perfect, sir. I don't see why we couldn't do that.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we make a Borderlands movie.
Oh, yeah. Weren't those games super popular like a decade ago? Why make that now?
Well, sir, the best time to make a movie was 10 years ago. The second best time is...
9 years ago?
Well, yeah, that would have been better, but I'm doing like...
8 years ago.
Also good, but I'm doing a play on that quote, you know, about planting trees, how the best time was 20 years ago, but the second best time is now.
Well, as you know, movies are trees, so I'm sold. So tell me about this thing.
Right, so on the planet Pandora, we're gonna meet this guy, Roland, and in the game, he's like this big, serious soldier guy.
We should get Kevin Hart to play him.
Oh, that's kind of the exact opposite vibe of what I said.
Yeah, then we could start the movie with a joke about his height.
Okay, that is good, and I can't believe nobody's done that before, but Roland's like the straight man in this movie.
Yeah, let's cast Kevin Hart as the serious character in a comedy action movie.
Well, okay then. So Roland kidnaps this girl, Tiny Tina, from a prison, and then this other prisoner, Krieg, smashes through his glass cell and joins them.
How is he even being held in a cell made of glass? Was that the first time he attempted that?
Hey, shut up. So then on this other planet, we're gonna meet Lilith, who's like a young, rebellious bounty hunter.
We should get Cate Blanchett to play her.
Oh, she's great. Isn't she in her 50s?
Yeah, great actress.
Yeah. Okay, and then there's this other young scientist lady named Tanis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's in her 60s, right?
Yes.
Okay, look, sir, I just gotta come out and say this. Is that a little miscast?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. It's actually a little Mr. Cast. See, I gave him a little mustache and everything.
Very cute. And great actor choices, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyway, so Lilith gets hired by this guy, Atlas, to go rescue his daughter, Tina.
Okay.
So she goes to Pandora, where she was born, and meets this little robot, Claptrap.
And what's his deal?
Well, I was thinking that with this character, we set out to make one of the most beloved comedy actors of our time into just the most annoying thing on the planet.
Oh, sounds like a fun challenge. Let's get Jack Black to say grating things every 2 to 3 seconds. Just stuff that barely has anything to do with anything.
That sounds perfect. And let's make it all the comedic equivalent of saying, well, that just happened.
Amazing.
So they track down Tina, and turns out she doesn't want to be rescued, and now she's teamed up with Roland and Krieg as well.
Why is Roland protecting her?
He's a rogue mercenary soldier.
Yeah, why did he go rogue?
Because he's...
That stack of paper seems kinda thin.
Yeah, to be honest, I had one of those frickin' meet cutes on the way here.
What?
You know when you bump into a girl and your papers go flying everywhere and then you make eye contact as you're both getting up?
Did you forget to pick up all the papers?
I always forget to pick up a bunch of the papers after meet cutes.
Well, that's okay. We don't really need to know why the characters do what they do.
Okay, thank goodness. So what happens now?
Okay, well now they've all decided to protect Tina and they're being pursued by Atlas's army led by this lady named Nox.
Okay.
So now we've got a fun team of outer space misfits. Just like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's always fun.
You see, the trick to a good Guardians of the Galaxy vibe is to make all the characters just kinda jerky.
And make sure they have good funny chemistry together, I guess.
Whoa, easy there. I can't do both those things.
Sorry.
You're trying to get me to walk and chew gum at the same time over here, and I won't stand for it.
I apologize.
We'll just stick to one of those two things, whichever you think is the most important. The unlikable one. So they're gonna do funny stuff, you know, they're gonna drive through a field of urine.
Pee fields are tight, so what are they trying to accomplish anyway?
Oh, well, see, there's this vault that contains powerful, it's stuff that makes you powerful.
Whoa.
But you need 3 keys to open it.
Oh, so they need to find 3 keys?
Well, they already have 1 key, and they just kind of stumble on another, and supposedly Tina is the 3rd key.
What do you mean?
There's this prophecy that the 3rd key is supposed to be the daughter of this ancient race from Pandora, and she's been genetically engineered to be that.
Oh, and so Atlas wants to use her to become vaguely powerful.
Exactly. So the good guys need to make it to the vault before he can get into... Oh, they probably shouldn't be heading there.
That's fine.
So they're gonna encounter several obstacles along the way, which
will happen, legally making this a movie.
What kind of things?
They're gonna have to go through this sewer-type area where maybe they'll fall in toxic waste or something.
Oh.
Yeah, you know how in video games sometimes you gotta go through an area? This is an area, and they're gonna go through it.
Video game adapted.
And since guns are a huge thing in the game, there are gonna be several big gunfights.
Oh, tell me about those.
Well, picture this, sir. Shots of the characters firing bullets off-screen and a shaky camera movement, and then another shot of a character falling. Well, I can only assume that the bad guys are being hit by those bullets.
Exactly,
although it will be hard to say, again, because of the shaky cam.
Very exciting.
Maybe.
So then what happens?
So eventually everybody gets to the vault, but turns out Tina's not the key. It's Lilith.
Oh.
Which is a big twist.
Oh.
Oh!
That's better. And then there's gonna be this moment where that lady knocks.
She switches sides.
How come?
I'm not sure, but she's killed instantly.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really affect anything in any way, but there are worse ways to spend 30 seconds of screen time.
I guess.
So now Lilith has to defend everybody from Atlas's army.
Is that gonna be hard to do? Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, since she's the chosen one, she now turns into a big old fire hawk and saves the day.
Isn't that the power she has in the game?
Yeah.
So fans of the game won't be surprised and non-fans of the game won't know what that's about?
Basically, yeah.
Who is this movie for? Who is this movie for? Sir, I'll tell you who this movie's for. This movie's for that little boy who's a fan of Borderlands, and he's always wondered why there's no movie. But he's not such a fan that he, like, knows all the stuff, because he'd get pretty mad about the weird decisions we're making. But he's aware, vaguely. He's got a vaguely positive feeling about Borderlands as a concept. And maybe... maybe that's enough to buy a ticket. That's who this movie's for.
Wow.
Well said. The thing is, I'm not sure that boy exists.
Well then we might be in some trouble here.
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.